Eleusis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Eleusis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. The subject of today's show is meditation. And we have something that we're going to give to you today. We have a gift, and I hope you stay with us to hear more about that. But we at Eleusis Trust, we believe that so many benefits can be derived from meditation. There's been a lot of health benefits reported by people. And so the entire show today is on meditation, and we hope to introduce many of you to the idea of meditation with the expectation that perhaps you can use meditation to attain a better state of mind, a better quality of life. I think also of the soul as being the best within me. And with all of my endeavors in life, I try never to betray the best within me, and that's sometimes hard to do, but at least I'm attempting to do that, as probably many other people are as well. And by the way, the gift that we're offering you today is Beginning to Meditate. It's one of our tapes. We'll be happy to send it out to you, and we'll mention it again later on. But if you'd like to have our tape, Beginning to Meditate, I think you'll receive a lot of information from that tape on how to meditate, what meditation is about, how to begin meditating, how to get started on it. And if you'd like that tape, you're welcome to call us at our toll-free number. That's 1-866-NY-LEUSIS. That's New York Eleusis. Is meditation different from prayer, or are they the same thing?
No, there's a difference. Many people practice both at various times. Prayer essentially is based on the idea or the belief that God is transcendent, that God or the Creator exists above and beyond the world of human affairs and must be beseeched through prayer. So prayer has the element of desire and appeal in it. And probably all of us have prayed at one time or another, and many of us may pray daily. And it isn't only that we ask for something for our own selves. We might pray for others. We might pray for the world. But the conditioning motive is that God exists beyond the world and must be beseeched, whereas meditation is founded on the recognition that not only is God transcendent, God is also immanent. In other words, existent within the human being, within all of his creation, in fact. He's present in every atom of substance that exists because God is the creator of the world and all that is within it. And that's the thought that was in that opening remark you made, that within you is a center of energy. Meditation taps that center of energy.
Meditation is also a way of contacting the soul. And just as Robert mentioned in the beginning, it acts as a bridge, a bridging mechanism between the personality, the outer personal self, and the soul. And so, at least in the way that we use the meditation technique in the beginning, it's a way of bridging. It brings that soul consciousness into very much into the forefront of one's consciousness.
What's the purpose of meditation? I mean, is it to find peace? Is it to relieve stress? What is the purpose of it?
Well, that's one reason for meditation. And perhaps we should say early on in our discussion that there are many different types of meditation. There's not just one practice that is meditation. There are many different approaches, and there are many different motivations or reasons or purposes or objectives for meditation. And there are some very strange ideas about meditation, as I have found. Years ago, I can remember telling a neighbor of mine that I was learning to meditate, and he looked at me and he got the slyest little grin on his face, and he said, "Meditation, does that have anything to do with sex?" So, I mean, there are astonishing misperceptions about meditation. And the answer to our listeners is no, it doesn't. As Dale said, it has to do with soul contact, at least the kind of meditation that we teach through our work in the Lucis Trust.
And also, I might clarify the point that I have also heard that meditation is self-hypnosis. And, of course, that's terribly erroneous, and it certainly is not self-hypnosis, so I have no fear about that.
Right. But, so you are in complete control of your mind when
absolutely.
You meditate properly. You
yeah.
are.
Yeah, there's no going into a trance or into out of your body or anything like that. You're totally conscious and totally aware and totally in control of what's going on all the time.
Mm-hmm. Things don't happen to you in meditation. In other words, other entities or whatever don't take possession of one, and you don't start hearing voices and seeing visions when you meditate if you're doing it properly. You're in control.
Meditation's really, at least in the way that is described in some of the Alice Bailey writings, that meditation is a way of life. Mm-hmm. It can be applied to your daily life, and the basic objective in meditation is to enable you to become outwardly what you are in inner reality, to bring that inner reality forward in consciousness and let it be expressed in the world, and meditation helps you do that.
Yes, I think it's because meditation puts you in touch with the soul, which is the real inner you, the undying one, the perfect higher, better self, as you mentioned, Robert, that exists within every person, and meditation puts you in touch with that aspect of yourself. So in a way, it's a connection of all parts of the self, not only the outer personality, which is the part most of us are familiar with, but the inner aspect too. Meditation brings all, or unifies all these aspects and makes them a functioning unity. So there's great power that's mobilized in the practice of meditation, and one can be surprised at what can come up or come forward through a practice of meditation.
The book that you were giving away to the listening audience, I enjoyed that immensely, and I learned, I enhanced a lot of my own ideas about what meditation is all about, and I think I've gotten better at it as a result of reading the booklet that you've given away. But it's called, the booklet is called The Science of Meditation. Why is meditation, why is it called a science in that book?
Well, one reason that occurs to me is that meditation, like all sciences, is based on principles, certain truths or facts, and it requires the following of those principles or rules in order to be done correctly. It isn't just a kind of meandering around on some abstract level. Meditation usually involves a great deal of discipline and the following of procedures and techniques that are very specific. As in the case of science, results happen according to law. In other words, if you follow the practices correctly, the results will be good. You can't just wing it if you really want to meditate correctly. You need to find a teacher or a system, a method that has been proven and tested, and then follow it with all the care and dedication that you can muster.
Yes, it's based on at least the type of meditation that we advocate is based on a very ancient system called Raja Yoga. And yoga, in this sense, means, literally, it means yoke, to join together. And so that's essentially what we're doing in any kind of yoga. Like Raja Yoga is this kingly science of the mind And it's using the mind as a bridging technique to the soul. And that's so it that also brings in the scientific aspect of it.
And another aspect of meditation that makes it a science is that it creates an alignment of one's equipment, you might say, of one's brain, heart, mind, and soul. All of these aspects are brought into alignment through meditation, and a channel, in a sense, is created from the highest aspect, the soul, using the mind and working out in the brain and the heart, and thereby through action that enables one to become a real vehicle for the soul, in a sense. If you think about it, the personality, the physical being is intended to be a vehicle and an expression of the soul, which is pure spiritual energy. And meditation is the practice which turns that, creates that vehicle. So to me, that's another expression of the scientific aspect of meditation.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, which is our show, and it's sponsored by the Lucis Trust Organization. That's Lucis Trust, and our organization was founded by Alice Bailey several years ago, in the early part of the 20th century. And by the way, those people who want the gift that we're giving you, you're certainly welcome to call up. It's a wonderful introduction to meditation. It's called Beginning to Meditate, and it's yours for the asking. Just call us up at our toll-free number, 1-866-NY-LUCIS, think of New York Lucis, or 1-866-95-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-95-8247. And, of course, if you'd like to order our books, well, two of the books that you might find very interesting if you like the idea of meditation and getting involved and beginning to meditate. One is called From Intellect to Intuition. The other one, Light of the Soul. It's, once again, it's From Intellect to Intuition. The other one is Light of the Soul, and our books can be purchased from Lucis Trust by calling that toll-free number that I mentioned earlier, 1-866-95-8247, or you can purchase our books at Barnes & Noble or Borders or Amazon.com. I might add that you get a 10% discount if you order all of our books. That's all 24 volumes. They're wonderful books, and they're challenging, they're thought-provoking, and I think you'll derive as much pleasure and intrigue and excitement from having my own ideas challenged as I have. So please give us a call, and you're certainly welcome once again to order our gift that we're giving away today, and we'll be giving it away during the week as well. It's called Beginning to Meditate. It's a wonderful tape. You'll find out a lot about of information about meditation. So many interesting reports people have given me and others about the benefits of meditation. Many people have reported health benefits, also achieving a better state of balance within oneself, also just reaching what we're talking about today and reaching the highest, that's the divinity that's within our own being. As Sarah mentioned, that can be perhaps achieved through meditation. People have talked about that. And I think it also brings us into touch with what I spoke about earlier about in the show, that's never betraying the best within us and coming into contact with that. Also, we're going to, as the show proceeds, we're going to have a description of a typical meditation that would be endorsed by Lucis Trust. So please stay tuned and you'll experience that. I think it'll be a part of our show that you'll like very much. Is it possible to practice meditation regularly in the midst of the busy lives most of us lead? Because that's quite difficult. I mean, when you think really about the busy office experiences that people have from day to day and meditation, and is it possible to do that, or is it something that has to be left until we have more free time and quiet?
I think it's not only possible, I think it's absolutely necessary. I can't imagine a life without a regular spiritual practice of meditation. But it's something that nobody can be forced into. It just makes no sense. It has to be self-chosen. And you get to the point, I think, where you realize that you need to learn to meditate if you're going to live your life in a way that is satisfactory and gives you peace and happiness. Frankly, I think that's the reason most people start to learn to meditate, and that's a perfectly legitimate motive. But so many people make excuses for not meditating because they are so busy, because they have work, they have family, they have commitments. But when you think about it, we all find time for what we really want to do. We find the time. We find the time to go on the internet. We find the time to talk with friends. We talk on the phone. We find the time to go to movies. We find the time to shop. So it's a matter of commitment and discipline, but the time is there. And in fact, I would say that the busy, hectic quality of modern life really makes meditation even more of an essential.
Yes, I think if one is really interested in following a path of meditation or a technique of meditation, then you better find the time. You find the time, as Sarah said, for everything else. So if this is important to you, then certainly you can find a time, maybe in the morning before you go to work. That's an excellent time to set aside 20 minutes even. That's all you need, 15 or 20 minutes a day, just to sit quietly and reflect and let your mind be at ease. And that will help prepare you for the rest of the day. It works because we know from experience from our students in the school and that sponsored by the Lucis Trust that it certainly does work because they find it to be true. That it sets the pace for the day, it sets the atmosphere.
Yeah, there's a peculiar phenomenon that happens when you begin to develop a habit of meditation. It seems to organize the rest of the life. It brings more organization, more discipline, more fluidity into the way the other aspects of life are handled, so that there is time for this regular daily spiritual practice, and you don't neglect feeding the dog and going to the basketball game that your son is playing in. All of the other aspects of life can be handled perhaps even more efficiently when you have a regular practice of meditation, and I think it's because it develops the mind. It develops the capacity of the mind to work in a fluid, quick way without a lot of the mental sludge that most of us have to plow through to accomplish so many tasks. So there's a kind of a speeding up in the life, I think, when one meditates.
Do people ever meditate without realizing it?
Yes. I would say so. My understanding of meditation is that, say, a businessman who's involved in some project that he's developing, or an artist who has a vision of a painting that she might want to paint, or a choreographer who's creating a dance, those are aspects of, they're examples of meditation because they orient the mind and use the visualization and the imagination to create a particular objective.
Meditation is really, at least the way that we promote it in our work, it's sustained, concentrated thought. And that's simply all it is. It's concentrated thought on a particular idea or subject. And so that's why the businessman that you mentioned, if he's or she is concentrating on a particular project that they're working on, then that's a form of meditation. It's sustained, concentrated thought on this idea. And scientists are very good at meditation, even though they might not call it that. They get lost in deep, deep thought on some big mathematical problem. And that is pure meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very common, although many people just wouldn't call it that.
And you could say, I think, that a scientist who's, say, working on a problem that's going to bring great benefit to humanity, for example, the many scientists now that are working on the major diseases, finding a cure for cancer, for multiple sclerosis, for AIDS, the scientists who are developing the nuclear fusion, not fission, but fusion, they are working on projects that are going to be that are going to better the world. And that's, to me, just as spiritual an objective as it is to simply sit and dwell on the concept of God. God is present in the created world, and when we turn our minds toward an understanding of how to improve and cooperate with nature and improve the world, we are working in a very spiritual way. So, yes, those scientists are meditating.
What are some meditation practices that the Lucis Trust offers?
Well, we have many different types of meditation that people can participate in. One that I think is especially interesting is a meditation that involves three people. It's called Triangles, and it's a very brief meditation that can be done in only a few minutes each day, but it should be done with consistency and regularity. It involves oneself and finding two other people that agree to work with you. That's the triangle, the three of you, linking up with them each day in meditation, acknowledging them, creating that line of light that links the three souls, then envisioning your triangle as part of a whole planetary network of triangles that consists of all these units of three people throughout the world, and there are probably thousands and hundreds of thousands of triangles that are presently working, and they are all endeavoring to envision light and goodwill pouring into the world and uplifting human consciousness. So it's very subtle, subjective work. They envision this pattern of triangles bringing light and goodwill into human consciousness, and they say the great invocation, which is the invocation that's heard at the end of this program. That's one type of meditation.
Yes, and another type is group meditation, which we also advocate, and we have a group meditations once a month, and that is another effective, very effective form of service. And that's another aspect that I would like to emphasize, is that meditation can be a form of service, mm-hmm. and it's a very useful, subjective type of service because it works with the mind on the plane of mind, and it affects human consciousness. And so that's one of the other techniques that we use.
I think that's one of the most interesting things about group meditation, that we do have a union with people on the plane of the mind, and that shouldn't be so rare a concept to think about, because we know that we share thoughts with others. We find ourselves thinking the same thought as someone else, picking up on the same idea. Well, if you think of that energy tapped in group meditation, you realize what a wonderful service it can be. And people would be welcome to call our office if they want information on coming to these monthly meditation meetings. They're open to the public.
And that number would be 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And, Sarah, we promised the audience a description of a typical meditation that might take place at a Lucis Trust meeting. Perhaps you can be so kind as to give that to us.
Well, it's a type of meditation that is a basic follows a basic outline of many of our meditations. Dale mentioned Raja Yoga, and that is the science of the mind in meditation. One begins, first of all, by finding a time and a place to work in meditation without being interrupted or distracted. And as he said, early morning is very much the best time, because the mind is not yet preoccupied with the daily concerns and problems, and the airwaves are clear, so to speak. Daily regularity is also important. If you can't find a long time to meditate, say 15 or 20 minutes, give it 5 minutes. But regularly, those 5 minutes are more significant than only occasional longer periods of meditation. You sit in a chair, with a straight back so that your spine will be erect, and yet try to be as comfortable and relaxed as possible. You fold your hands in your lap and cross your ankles. It's helpful to take a few deep breaths while you try to empty out of your consciousness any personal concerns or problems that would distract your attention. And then you use your creative imagination to lift the focus of your consciousness to a point that's slightly above the top of your head. And you see this point as what we call in the writings of Alice Bailey, the lower mind. That's the analytical, critical mind. You see that mind stilled and quiet as a pool of light. And using the imagination, you project a line of light from your mind to the soul center. In other words, you see the soul as a radiant sun and a line of light leading to that sun. And using your visualization, you see this line extending still further to the higher abstract mind, which connects you with your divine self. All of this should happen quite rapidly, not with a great deal of time. And then you pause for a moment to be simply aware of the light and the energy of the soul. And trying to hold your mind as steady as possible, you consider, you develop, you ponder on a particular seed thought from some spiritual book that you might be reading. An example would be the thought, "Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events. Let love prevail. Let everyone love." You take that idea or another one that is that appeals to you, and you use your reason and your experience and your powers of analysis to develop its meaning and its application to life on earth. How would it lift the quality of life? How would it help mankind? And then when you've completed that, you see the flow of spiritual energy pouring throughout the planet, affecting all kingdoms, human, vegetable, animal, mineral, bringing love and light of God into the world. And finally, to release the energy that you have taken in meditation and turn it into service to humanity, you sound the great invocation, which is said at the end of this program, which pours light and love and power into human consciousness.
Thank you, Sarah. And in closing, we invite you to ponder on this thought. Goodwill is the touchstone that will transform the world. Goodwill is love in action. It's the energy that draws us together in right relationship. There is a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these wonderful, powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.